Hello, everyone, and welcome to More Than Dice Presents Minis and Movies. I'm your host, John Spencer, and this is a Patreon-only exclusive for all you guys who decide to give your hard-earned dollars to us, and I appreciate it. This is also the solo cast, formerly known as the Co-Host Corner, but with Metal John retiring, I didn't figure that name was appropriate anymore. So I am going with Minis and Movies, which was suggested by Metal John. I'm actually going to cut this down now to two sections, as I'm going to do a lot of the alternate game stuff, a lot of other stuff I would normally do here in FreeCast for everyone, just so we get some more content out there, and some stuff that I would cover, more people would like to see it, so we'll get that out there. Tonight, we are going to cover the Avengers Initiative. Good lord, what part is this? It's been a while. Avengers Initiative Part 8, which is Thor: The Dark World. Part 8, good lord. Believe that? I'm not even remotely done yet. I'm only at Thor the Dark World, which happened quite some time ago. I'm also going to cover Malifaux Slowgrow Leagues, one I've been running and playing, and the other one I've just been playing in. Hey, if you guys ever have any ideas for me, movies you'd like me to cover after or series after I'm done with the myriad of Marvel movies, I'm catching up slowly but surely. Have any games you want me to talk about? Or just any ideas for topics in general, you can hit me up. I'm John Oakland Spencer on Facebook. On Twitter, which is usually the easiest way people to hit me up, is at John O. Spencer. And since the other email address didn't go, I'm going to actually give you one of my actual email addresses, and it is johnoaklandspencer@yahoo.com. Hit me up on any of those. I'll be happy to listen to any ideas you guys have. Tonight, I'll be drinking a wonderful Smirnoff Ice, regular. I know people call it a girly drink, but how come I drink what I like? Ron! Alright, I'm going to start off with the Malifaux Slowgrow Leagues. I've not really been feeling the War Machine, to be honest, so decided to give a little change, and I would play a start a Malifaux Slowgrow League for just my local buddies, since we all used to play Malifaux a bit and have been out of it for a bit. We're about to ramp up when they announced Mark III, and that got us all excited, and we went all in on War Machine, and, you know, War Machine's in a flux state. We need some time for it to stabilize before we're really all in like we used to be. So I decided to run a Slowgrow League. It's a lot like a Journeyman League, just put together a little more emphasis on fun rather than winning games. You play at lower points. Normally Malifaux is played at 50 points. Instead you play at 26 points week 1, 30 on week 2, 40 on week 3, and then 50 on week 4. You play one faction, you can change anything else in there, and you get a bunch of achievements for doing stuff. And there's only so many you can get. They got a packet that you give out. It's got one-off achievements, like it's called It Puts the Color on the Skin, which is play a game with a painted model that wasn't painted at the start of the league. You can get that 3 times. You can get points for playing every game with a fully painted crew. You can paint a new box that you didn't have painted at the start of the league, which is also worth some points. You can create a themed display board, so it's all cool stuff there. You also get points for showing up on a league night, playing against an opponent you haven't played yet, and just playing a game. Other stuff like playing different ways, or playing a wide variety of stuff. And then on league day, there's a whole big thing of points you can get, such as letting your opponent cheat a card from your hand randomly, playing one turn with your card face down, not cheating in the game, or even potentially or a turn or game. There's also, you know, a bunch of cool stuff that can randomly happen, you and your opponent flipping the same initiative number and having to reflip. So lots of cool stuff. And in fact, the only points you could possibly get from winning is if you get the epic, you win the game with no models left on the table, which is very, very difficult to do. As a matter of fact, you're more likely to get the tabled, which is lose the game with the models left on the table. Other than that, there are no points for winning or losing, which is cool. So it's all about playing the games and having fun and less about winning the actual games. In fact, sometimes it's about doing crazy stuff in there. Like I said, I've been running that for my local guys. I've been running that 2 weeks per week just because the guys don't have that much time to come out. Even with Friday night league nights, Not everyone could make it, so 2 weeks per week makes it a little bit easier, gives them some time to ease into it. And I also up the games. Normally you can play two games per, usually per game night. I let it go for the week, for the 2 weeks, and I made it three games. Just, you know, everyone's having fun. We're actually only almost done with week two in that, which would be the end of a full league normally. I've played, only played, three and a half games. The half game was a test game with Inner Light, who's one of our local henchmen, which is like press gangers for Malifaux. And we didn't count that game towards a point since we sort of did that before everyone showed up. That's funny enough, the only game I haven't won recently. Actually, I still played another game just for fun with Norrin. So I'm playing Von Schill, who's like a mercenary, he's mercenary beatstick. He's got a pistol, he's got a sword, he goes in and kicks people's asses. He doesn't have any real shenanigans aside from being pretty mobile. And I take a lot of random models with him. I've been taking the same stuff just to get used to playing it. If you guys know Malifaux, I'm taking Big Jake with, I forget the name of the upgrade, but basically I can discard to give him fast, or when he dies, he gets finished the job, so he can put down a scheme marker, and then Big Jake comes back. I've also been playing with Johan, who has finished the job inherently, and a big relic hammer to hit people with. I've been playing with a Ronin, who's super cool and way better than I ever thought, even for their 6-point cost, very versatile model. Then I started off with a desperate mercenary, who's really just a 4-point pud who dies pretty quick, and instead switched to a hodgepodge effigy, who's a really cool puppet thing and actually has a little more versatility, so I went with that. And I've been doing pretty well. My first game was against not Brushhead Dave. He was playing with Molly, who's a little girl who likes undead things. She was a reporter, got killed by the bad guy, now she's undead and runs around. We had a good game, but I managed to win on scenario. One of those games where it was a lot closer than it looked, than the final score showed. My second game, I played against L. Marshall. And that was super cool. He was playing Lady Justice, and I just managed to outmaneuver her a little bit because a little bit faster. And then my third game, I believe, I also played against El Marshall because we were waiting for someone else and he hadn't shown up. And again, I outmaneuvered her, but this one was a little bit closer, a lot more models killed both ways. The first one, you know, he came in all in on Von Schill, and I've got lots of defensive tech, so I managed to face tank her and then kill her out of hand. This time, I killed a little bit easier when I got to her, but it was a lot later in the game, and the scenario was a lot closer to that one. And then I played a fun game against Norrin with my alternate crew, the one I'm running down at Third Eye, which I'm going to go into, which is from a different faction called Ten Thunders. So down at Third Eye, we're running a proper league, lots of random people, anyone who wants to play is in. Inner Light's running that, and it's a good time. I've been enjoying the heck out of it. I actually hadn't planned on playing week one. I was just, you know, getting my work used to the fact that I'm going to be leaving on time on Tuesdays to go down to this other store and see how things are going. And one of the guys there offered me to play with his crew, which is points. But, you know, I said, hey, what the heck? You know, I'm not going to deny him points. I'll play. And the only options, he plays Neverborn, who are sort of the inherent residents, the native residents of Malifaux. Lots of demons and monsters and stuff. And the only options he had from them that I could really use would have been Jacob Lynch, who's like a card shark who basically made a deal with the wrong kind of entity, and is, you know, now he's a dual faction. He works for Neverborn and Ten Thunders. He's sort of turncoat to one. I haven't read his background fluff enough to know which one, but he's like a card shark, and he's in with this entity called the Hungering Darkness. And so I played with them. Because I could declare Ten Thunders so I could actually play the rest of the league. Otherwise, Neverborn, I can't play in the other sort of league. I don't own any. So the first game was fun. It was against Garrett, who loaned me his crew. And he's kind of an intense guy, but he came with the right mindset. He's like, I'm going to end this game losing with no models left just for points. So he did a lot of stuff for points and decided to lose the game with no models left. Though, to be fair, aside from him killing a couple of his own models, I was going straight in on winning the game, just because I like that practice of doing scenarios while with whatever models I have. and was doing pretty good with that. So, but it was a fun time. Like I said, a little intense, but yeah, no worries. Fun at 26 points. So, week two. Now this league down at Third Eye, when I'm playing 10 Thunders, Interlight made it 5 weeks just because there's 5 weeks, five Tuesdays in August. So I figured one per, just to keep people on the right time frame. Added an extra level between 30 and 40 of 35. So second week I came down, and with an actual my own 10 Thunders models, which I own some, Misaki, who's a 10 Thunders and Outcast, which is Von Chill's an Outcast, and she's a sort of a assassin chick with a Bicento and choppy things up, and I had an upgrade to make her a bit more mobile. And then she runs around with a little Kenku birdie dude to go and do schemes. He's got some scheme shenanigans. Also with a 10 Thunder brother who protects your schemes, and it's a pretty good defensive model. Also, I had originally... I have a sniper in there, a Katakana sniper, who is a really good sniper. And he's got a katana just in case you get in close, so he can whip things in melee. And then also I have the lone swordsman in that because I'd forgotten the other model I'd intended to use at home. First game, I was playing against a gentleman who was playing with gremlins. I had model advantage because he had basically he had Wong, who's a mage gremlin, and then Lenny, who's this big beat stick, and two Swinecursed, who are gremlins who turn into pigs. They're like pig werewolves, but the human part's actually gremlin. So they're very cool and very good. I was surprised. We got into it, one of the schemes. I'll go through the entire idea of Malifaux maybe another time. But one of the schemes was Frame for Murder. And based on the way one of the Swinecursed was going, I knew damn well that he wanted Misaki to kill it. So I did. I gave him the points. I don't care. I wouldn't really call it a frame because at that point, I did it. It was murder, straight up. But I got lucky on the other side. He had rolled into one of my... I'd gotten a blowgun shot off with the sniper. Made him slow. He had to do all this stuff to make him not slow. Came in, wasn't able to kill me because I have hard to kill, which means I can't go below one wound unless I start at one wound, which is really cool. It means you got to get him to one and then kill them. So I was left alive, and he flipped the Black Joker, which is bad and cannot be cheated for defense. So I got to hit him as hard as I could, and I walloped him good. And then the second attack, I managed to sneak a hit in, despite his superior defense to my offense. Just good enough, and managed to kill him off, which was cool. Which left the sniper free to run around and do schemes in his backfield, which is good, since I gave him 3 points straight up for murdering the other Swinecursed. On the other side, Lenny had just crossed the corner and was staring at my Kenku, who is very, very squishy and small and cute, and cute things need to be protected. So the Lone Swordsman slid over with a zero action and came in and just butchered Lenny. I mean, it was crazy. I got a lucky Red Joker for damage and just ended him. So that went that way, and then Misaki just sort of tied down the Wong for a bit. I wasn't going all in. Because I didn't want to table him, not because it gives him points, but because I was trying not to be that guy. Ended up winning that scenario. Decent, I think it was 6 or 7 to 4, which is pretty good. Week 3, I did not realize at first that Bill had made week 3 35 points, so I came with a 40-point list. But he told me luckily before I started to play. And so I had just added in Kamatachi, who's a little weasel totem, generic totem for 10 Thunders. Apparently his nickname is the Diesel Weasel. He can set things on fire, but more importantly, he gives you a bonus when you attach or discard upgrades. And one of the upgrades I take inherently from Misaki is called Recalled Training, which gives me a bonus to all my everything I do for a turn. And it's discarded, so as soon as I use that, I get to heal and push, which is super awesome. I also have another one of those upgrades on the model I'm supposed to take instead of the Lone Swordsman, which is Yin the Pengalian. Basically, head, entrails, floating in the air. That's Yin. And Yin is a goddamn. Because it's just a massive entrails, it actually, you have a minus to hit it and damage it, which makes that thing tank like a mug. More so on the turn where you drop your recalled training, so you get a bonus to all your defensive flips, so... I was playing against a gentleman who was just all in, told me, I'm all in on points. We played a story encounter for points. We gave each other half our soul stones for points. He played. We both played at least one turn with the hand face up. He actually chose not to cheat the entire game, which was impressive. Everything we could do for points. And it was sort of cool. You know, I let him choose my scenarios. He did. Or my schemes. And basically the whole idea, I needed to stay near a point in the center of the table with the models, and he needed to get guys over to my deployment zone. But he kind of got caught up because I sent Misaki over, and she's super mobile, especially with Kamitachi to move her before she starts. And so I'm like, go in on Seamus, don't do very good. Seamus is basically Jack Ripper with a giant gun. No, a bigger gun. Figure the biggest hand cannon you've ever seen. That's about what he's got. He can only fire once per turn. It's so badass. So I hit him a couple times, then slide over, and then he uses all of his undead call girls to draw me over and start attacking me, but I'd used my recall training, so I was completely untouchable that turn. He didn't do anything. And then I realized quickly that, well, next turn he sent Seamus over towards the rest of my dudes, which worried me a little bit. But I realized everything was going after Misaki, so I'm like, well, screw it. I'm just going to let him beat on Misaki for a bit. There is a bonus for not using any soul stones, so I did not use any soul stones. I sort of let them just beat on her and not spend them to get effects. And also, he had forgotten that one of the schemes he gave me was my... so it's a story encounter. You get the faction-specific schemes, which 10 Thunders is sort of like scout the field, get an idea of what's going on. Because we're a criminal empire, we need to see what's going down. Which is to place scheme markers near the deployment zone, which I completed easily because I was planning for it. And the other one was deliver a message where someone not Misaki had to get next to his leader and spend both your action points to deliver the message. So that's difficult if you don't have 3 action points, because most models only have 2, because you can't get there easily. Usually you walk and you have 1 left to survive a turn, and Seamus can either leave, or, because he's got a teleporty thing, or just kill you. But then I realized he did that, and I had Kamitachi to push my dudes around, and also the 10th Thunder's brother, who is nearby, has an ability to place within 3 inches. So I triggered that, popped into 3 inches, and I went, "Message for you, sir!" Thumbs up, 3 points from that scheme, 3 points from my faction scheme, and I actually ended up scoring all the points from my from the strategy, because I kept 2 guys within 3 inches of the objective the entire game, because he went all in on Misaki. He ended up killing her, which doesn't usually happen, but just didn't care. I'm like, you know, you're face tanking, she can face tank it all, I'll take the points from that. Yin was a good roadblock for a bit, and the Kenku and Ten Thunder's brother, and eventually the sniper, ended up just hanging out there, scoring the objective, which is super cool. So it was 10-0 and scored a lot of points in general for that, which put me at 3rd in the league, which is cool. I wasn't really shooting to win. I just came down to play and having a good time. And then last week, week 4, I kept Kamitachi in, and then I dropped the Soulstone from my pool and added... Torakage, who is basically a ninja. A little bit of throwing stars and melee. A lot of shenanigans, you know. Good shooting defense if you're near somebody else. So I had him paired up with Yin, because Yin's got good shooting defense all the time, because it's Yin. And then really good melee by himself, so I had him charge off into stuff. And my opponent was playing for the first time. She was borrowing Inner Light's Sandeep, who's very new and pretty much the best Arcanist Master there is. He can summon his totem, who is a Banasuva, who is a genie, who is an absolute badass. And she had taken 3 Oxfordian mages, who are cool little... basically shoot spells at you. But each one gets a different upgrade to do things a little differently. One ends up being a sort of melee mage, one ends up getting some other abilities. And then he also had the Captain, who is... a henchman who has a lot of good variety of stuff. A spell called Airburst, which lets you push guys around and all. Plus, he's got a relic hammer, which hits things really hard. So, first turn, he pushes all the stuff forward. I'm being good. I take a pot shot with the... or 2 shots with the Katakana Sniper, who does good damage, leaving one of the mages on one wound left. I'm just jocking around. I'm again, my mind's firmly on my schemes. And turn two, I win initiative, and Yin had been up sort of close, and I had sort of snuck all the way up I could. So I discard my recalled training to get the bonus to everything, which lets me push a little bit, and then I charge the second Oxfordian mage just right headlong into the middle and just logjam his entire force. Based on where his place, there it was hard. There was only one way to go, one easy way to go around through a wrecked, ruined building, but he had to back up and go around to do that. And the other way, he had to go all the way around another building. So I logjammed his entire force that turn and just face tanked everything. Nothing hit me. It was cool. Because, I mean, I get a bonus flip and he gets a negative flip. It's really hard to get through that. So he ended up spreading some stuff around. Benasuva came out. I had the Kenku. I did some shenanigans to the Ten Thunder Brother to move forward. Place a scheme marker. The Kenku gets to teleport to scheme markers within 5. So I teleported within 5. Then moved and placed one of my own to score one of my schemes. All this time, Yin was within 5 of one of the stat, or within 3 of one of the stashes to half score the strategy. And between Kamitachi, Torikage, and Misaki, easily was within 3 of the other one. So I wasn't really worried there. And then he did a crazy thing after Banasuva killed the bejesus out of that Kenku. It was overkill like a mug. Sandeep rolled around the other way, like rolling around the far side of the building, sort of towards where Misaki was. Not being one to let an enemy master go unbisentoed, I popped around the corner and charged him and hit him like a ton of bricks, because I got a red joker for damage. It's a common theme with me, against the game against and against Al Marshall, the first one. I red jokered for damage at least 3 times. It was horrible. Against Bill in our test game or Interlight, I managed to. We both played red jokers on each other for damage. So, a lot of red jokers flying around in the games. So, I got red joker, leaving him on a handful of wounds, tied up. I'm scoring points. He's not really yet. Yeah, Banasuva killed the crap out of the Kenku. It wasn't even a fight. It was like, oh my god. It was like, squee! Also, at that point, I had noticed when Banasuva went up against the Kenku that I had not cheated at up to that point. And I could have, because the upgrade she chose for Banasuva, when she summons him, she chooses one of 3 upgrades. She chose him to not be affected by slow, so he's immediately good to go. But unfortunately, he can't cheat. So I could have actually had him miss and kept the Kenku alive, but I decided to let her kill him and go for the no cheating. Because honestly, at that point, 3 hits, I have to make sure all 3 miss, and him being too bigger number than me means there's a lot of numbers she could flip that I just can't beat. And he can kill that thing in 1 hit. So I'm like, eh, screw it, I'm just gonna not cheat. Kills him. Standing there out in the open, fine. Next turn I win initiative. I kill Sandeep, using recall training for Misaki. And then, literally, she's so mobile. I hit him, move, hit him, kill him, move again with the trigger, then move, then walk, and then I get to push it into my activation. And I'm like engaging one of his other mages from behind, like, "What's up, dude?" Yin is face tanking in the front. Finally, kills the one Oxfordian mage who I shot. The sniper is out of targets. More or less, I shot another Oxfordian mage who was hanging out up front, but didn't do a lot of damage. The Torikage ended up charging that one because that one was no good in melee, because Jin ate the one who was good in melee. So I ended up with this game where he's just so log jammed. He finally gets Banasuva around, going through my Ten Thunder Brother, and able to do stuff. But by the time he gets into my backfield to score his scheme. It's too late. She can't really score any points. She scored none off the strategy because she couldn't keep 2 models within range of the stashes in the middle of the table. I'd killed Sandeep, so she couldn't get her entourage off, which is her other scheme. I let her chose my 2 schemes, and one of them I couldn't score because Sandeep was dead, and I needed him alive to put scheme markers near him, which was my plan. But since I had hit him with the red joker, I'm like, he's going to die. Let's just kill him. Let's not try and keep him alive. Let's just kill him. Though in hindsight, I probably could have, if I was more confident winning initiative, I could have just backed off after hitting the second time, which was the Red Joker one, placed a scheme marker, ended my turn, win initiative, play scheme marker, play move, play scheme marker, discard for 3 points. But I wasn't really thinking about that. I just killed him. He ended up killing Yin at the end of the game. But at that point, I had someone else to go within three of that objective, and the captain ended up hitting Misaki really hard once with the Red Joker, left her in a handful of wounds and on fire. She ended up dying from the fire, which is okay, because that's worth points. And again, no Soulstone use, because at that point I figured, what the heck, and ended up very well. Won that one pretty confidently, and had a great time doing it. So there you go, there's recap. I got one more week in the league at Third Eye Games, and then pretty much 4.5 weeks of my league I'm running, and then after that I'm actually going to run an official one for everyone at Games and Stuff, my home store, because I've gotten some interest, and Malifaux's been kind of lax. Some of the guys have been taking a siesta, so I have to step up. So there you go, a little overlong, sorry about that. I didn't take notes on the games, I was trying to do them from memory and get you some details, cool stuff that happened. And there you go. Ron. So now we are up to part 8 of the Avengers Initiative, Thor the Dark World. I really feel this movie is very underappreciated. I think that's because the rest of the Marvel movies are so goddamn good, and this one's just okay. I enjoy the heck out of it. I do think it is good overall. It's got really great visuals. Decent story. It's a little bit of Asgard history, plus a good look at how Thor has evolved, and a little bit of getting stuff ready for the overall plot line. So overall, pretty good. Based upon comic stories, you know, it's not as good as the comic stories based on by a long stretch. But they save that pretty much for the Captain America series, don't they? But enjoyable. The villain is kind of mediocre, but it's hard. You don't have time for villains to be anything. In fact, in Marvel, most of the villains aren't there for their villainous ways. They're there to be just obstacles for the heroes to grow while they're overcoming, or to show how they've grown while they're overcoming. For a Thor story, it was good enough. There's only so much they can do because they sort of really back themselves in a wall with the whole no magic thing, so they had to go really weird with the Dark Elves and the Asgardians, but they did a pretty good job of it. Like I said, it does really show how Thor has grown as a character from the, you know, aggressive, just kill everything, and now he's trying peace, he wants to destroy the weapon, he doesn't want to kill the Dark Elves, he doesn't want Asgardians to die, he doesn't really want the Dark Elves to die so much, even though, I mean, he wants Malekith to die because he killed his mother, but beyond that, it's not big on his list to just kill them all and have his guardians die at the same time. Thor and Loki together is awesome. Their banter is great. Tom Hiddleston's awesome. Loki is still a good villain. I don't care what people say. He's good. Let us see. Let's talk about my official rating points. Rewatchability. I give this about 2.5 shots of Kraken. You can rewatch it. It's a good time. You don't really get bored with it. But it's not going to be one of the ones you reach for first. It's pretty good. But, I mean, compared to... I'd probably about with Iron Man 3 rewatchability. But, I mean, when you're stacking up against the Captain America movies, the Avengers, Avengers Age of Ultron, Guardians of the Galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Jesus Christ. You just can't keep up with those things. And there's no shame in not being able to keep up with those things. But... okay, rewatchability, but not first you'll go for. Nostalgia. Nostalgia is, I give this one a high number, 4 shots of Kraken, because people think it's a lot worse than it actually is. It's actually a pretty good movie. It's got good comedy, good visuals. It's a good movie overall. But the nostalgia of it is people think it is bad. But it is not. Storyline. Three shots of Kraken, somewhere in that area. It does interlock with the main story, which is good. It does give you some history, so maybe it is pretty good. I'll go with the 2.5 shots of Kraken again. Middle of the road. I feel like you could do better, but you could also do a lot worse. And pretty enjoyable. Post-credits. Now, this has got two post-credits. It's got a mid-credit stinger, which is really good, and then a post-credit stinger, which is, you know, whatever. Should have been the end of the movie, my answer, but it kind of is the ending of the movie then. So the mid-credits is The Collector, where Volstagg and Sif give the ether to The Collector to safeguard, not knowing that he's looking for all the Infinity Stones himself, because it's not safe to have two Infinity Stones near each other, because they have the Tesseract, which they have stated unequivocally is Infinity Stone. So I enjoy it because it plays into the whole thing. It's characterful. Benicio del Toro was very amusing as a Collector. And, yeah, thumbs up. I give it one shot of Kraken. It was good. And then the end stinger is he comes back to Natalie Portman. Whatever. Three shots of Kraken. It can be. It cannot be. It should be the end of the movie, I'll be honest. Stan Lee cameo. I'm trying to remember what the Stan Lee cameo is. Oh, yeah. Stan Lee was good. Stan Lee was, I mean, it's short and sweet. It's when Dr. Selvig is theoretically insane, held by the police, and he's demonstrating the convergence with shoes, and Stan Lee's there, and he asks, can I have my shoe back now? So I give that, you know, it's two shots of Kraken, and it's good, but not great. It fits in the story, which I like a lot better than a lot of them. It's not Stanley for Stanley Shake. You need someone there. Witty line. Boom. Stanley. Soundtrack. Soundtrack is decent, but not great. I didn't really notice it in a lot of moments, but that's sort of Marvel's thing for most of their soundtracks. And I think it was Brian Tyler, again, who's done a lot of their stuff. And he's sort of go-to when you don't want the action or the movie, the soundtrack to overwhelm the action. So, pretty good. I'll give it 2.5 shots of Kraken. Not good enough that I have bought it, but I would consider it. And finally, the one-shot, the last one-shot, damn you, Marvel, these one-shots were so good, which is All Hail the King, which is all about Trevor from Iron Man 3, and, you know, him being in prison, and the actual Ten Rings breaking him out to potentially kill him because the Mandarin was not a fan of his impersonation of himself. So I give it 0 shots of Kraken. It's great. I really wish they'd done more. If they'd done more of that quality, they really could have kept their DVD prices up, because I will buy their Blu-rays for that, no doubt. But they've chose to go a different way, because, like, oh, we got all this stuff for TV and all that. Whatever. Should have gone with the one-shots. It was great. They've evolved a lot from the quick and dirty, funny thing happened on the way to Thor's hammer through Agent Carter, which was on Iron Man 3, which was fucking awesome too, to this. And finally, one shout out. I always like to do this when I notice this on a movie. It has a in memory of Don Payne. Apparently, he was a co-writer of this and Thor, the first Thor. Also, My Super Ex-Girlfriend and Fantastic Four Rise of a Surfer. So apparently he passed from cancer before this came out, so they dedicated this to his memory. And it's always interesting to see, you know, why that's for. I'd like to have the knowledge of that going in. So overall, Thor the Dark World, about 2.5 shots of Kraken. It's pretty good overall, but not as good as the rest of the movies. If this is the worst they ever do, this Iron Man, or this Thor 1 and Incredible Hulk are generally banded around as the worst. Some people say Iron Man 2 or Iron Man 3, but I don't, whatever. If those movies collectively, those five movies are the worst they do, good lord, we're in for a treat. If DC get their shit together, like, to this level consistently, we'd be happy. So there you go. Ron. Alright, so I hope you all enjoyed that. A little rundown of my Slow Grow Malifaux, which is another one coming later. Next episode probably will not be another Slow Grow update. maybe a short one covering the last week at Third Eye, just so I don't forget it. But then I'll do another one later when I finish up my league for all those updates. I am looking for topics, since I'm not going to do a lot of book reviews. I know I promised you all Last Coast Corner, episode 31, I promised you guys a 40K review, which I'm going to do, but it's going to be a separate podcast you guys can just listen to. Not going to make that anyone pay for that. You're all going to get that coming up soon. I'm going to record it in the next day or two, so hopefully I'll have this released. This may release before that, but not much. So again, looking for topics for next time. We'll see. Maybe I'll just talk about some Malifaux stuff. Maybe some War Machine stuff will pique my interest. Who knows? And then in the movie section, I will talk about... It'll be the Avengers Initiative Part 9, Captain America, The Winter Soldier. Spoiler! It's fucking good! Alright, so thank you all for listening again. And again, if you have any ideas for me, Twitter, at John O. Spencer... Facebook, John Oakland Spencer. Email, johnoaklandspencer@yahoo.com. Again, thank you for listening. Thank you all for supporting us as we move over from Penny Without John to More Than Dice. We really appreciate it. Seth and Gonzo and I are having a good time with this and plan to give you guys a lot of good content. So until next time, everyone, Ron!